Let's just go ahead and open with a word of prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we can come and just be together and remember what it was that you did for us, Lord, sacrifice that you made. Pray that our hearts and our minds will be open and we'll just hear your word and use it to impact our life and take it with us, Lord. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So Easter is my favorite holiday. I've loved it forever. 23 years ago, on an Easter, I accepted Christ into my life and decided to follow him from that point. So when Jeremy asked me if I wanted to give a message today, I was really excited. I went home and immediately started working on a message and started going. It just wasn't working, so I threw that one out, started another one. Got into it for a little bit and then said, no, that's not working. Threw that one out. Started another one. And I was just like, it's not working. I can't do it. So I threw that one out too. But then as I looked at the passage, I realized why I couldn't get something flowing. Because I was getting real frustrated. Because usually I can get in a room, pray, open up the passage, and just let the words flow. But I started just reading the passage over and over. And I realized that God had already prepared the message. From the very early on in the Old Testament with his prophets, he told his people what he was going to do for them. He told them who was coming, that they were going to be saved. He was going to send someone to take care of everything for them and to set them free. And then as he brought it to pass, he instructed the people who wrote the Gospels exactly how he wanted the story written down of what his son did and how it went. So, the passage that we are going to use today is John 19, and we're going to do the verses 16 through 42, going over his death and burial. And I chose John today to communicate because so much through the story of the crucifixion and his burial, John refers to the prophecies were fulfilled, or so scripture would be fulfilled. He keeps going back to those Old Testament verses being fulfilled, proving Jesus to be the Son of God, proving Jesus is the Messiah. So we start out in verse 16. So he, being Pilate, delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather write, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. So Jesus was being crucified, and there was a sign put on his cross. That sign was put on the crosses saying what crime you committed that you were being put to death for. So Pilate put, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and wrote it in three different languages so everyone going by could read it, everyone could understand it. And it angered the chief priests because they didn't believe Jesus to be the King of the Jews. They just wanted him to say that he claimed to be the King of the Jews. So they asked Pilate to change it, and he said, what I have written, I have written. He refused to change it, which is him kind of like making a jab at the Jews, you know, because they forced his hand to crucify Jesus. He didn't really want to do it. He thought the man had done nothing wrong. So, but he didn't want the Jews to have an uprising on his hands. So he crucified him. And by keeping the name King of the Jews on a sign, he left Jesus's true name on there. Not just a claim to be, but actually he was the King of the Jews. So as we go further, like also in that, we see that Jesus was crucified with some criminals. which is the first prophecy that was given from Isaiah 53:12. And it says, "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." So he was, it says he would be labeled with them, and he was crucified alongside two criminals. Then as we go on, it says, "When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments to divide them into four parts. One part was woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture which says, 'They divided my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots.' So the soldiers did these things." And where that is coming from is Psalms 22:18. It is prophesied that they will divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they will cast lots. And that was done when people were being crucified just to further humiliate them. They took everything from them and took it as their own. So, moving on to verses 25 through 27. "But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son,' then said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour on, he took her to his own home." Here, Jesus, while he's on the cross, sees who's there, sees his mom and his disciple, and he tells his mother to take the son and the disciple, "Take her as your mother." While he is suffering, we see his love for other people. He wants to make sure that she is taken care of. He's not paying attention to his position or his pain, but taking time to say, "Hey, take care of her. She's your mother now. Take her," because he needed to make sure that she was going to be taken care of. So verses 23 through 24 said, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all has now finished, said, 'To fulfill the scripture, I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth." So the verse that, I mean, the prophecy that's fulfilled here is Psalm 69:21. "They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink." And I really like this part right here because it's a prophecy about what they're going to give him to drink. And like, people make prophecies all the time, but usually it's like the end of the world or the end of technology. It's always something big that everybody's going to notice. But God was so precise on what was going to happen to his son that he went all the way to the point of what they were going to give him to drink. Was sour wine. So I really like it because it's just something that most people probably would have just looked over like, "Oh, okay, they gave him wine. Big deal. We all drink wine." But God prophesied ahead of time to the exact drink that they were going to give him. And he says, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' He bowed his head and gave up his spirit." I think all the power in that sentence is just really strong. Because when we think of God, we don't think of God dying. When we think of like the God who created everything, being killed isn't something that we immediately bring to mind. But it says that he gave up his spirit. He voluntarily died. Nobody killed him. He died willingly. He gave up his spirit. He chose to die. So he died voluntarily, which is prophesied in Isaiah 53:12, which we used earlier. But it says that they will divide his portion with many, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. So there, he gave up his spirit. But also the sentence he used there to say, "It is finished," meaning he had brought everything to completion. what God had started with Adam and Eve from when he killed that first animal to cover their sins, and all the sacrifices that took place after, this was the final one that satisfied the wrath of God. All the sins put on him, and he said, it is finished. He completed that plan that God had put into place. So, since it was a day of preparation, and so the bodies would not remain on Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate for their legs might be broken, so that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his knees. So on a cross, the way you died was by suffocating. Your chest would get really heavy, and to breathe, you'd have to stand up on your legs so that you could take in a breath. And that's why they broke the knees, because then you wouldn't be able to stand, so you would die very quickly. And the Jews wanted that done because they believed that if people stayed on the cross on the Sabbath, then it would defile the land. And they were getting ready for the Sabbath and didn't want them up there, so they asked them to break the knees. And they did that, but when they got to Jesus, they saw he was already dead, using that to fulfill another scripture, which is Psalm 34:20, that says he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. So when they got to him, they didn't break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is, you may also believe. His bones will be broken, and another scripture that says they will look on him whom they have pierced. So they saw that Jesus was already dead, and then pierced him in the side, and blood and water came out, proving him to be dead. That way no one could say, you know, he was just unconscious, or, you know, he didn't actually die, but that they were able to testify he is truly dead. He has died. And the scripture that was fulfilled was Zechariah. Says that they will look upon him who they have pierced and mourn for him. Scripture after scripture is being fulfilled in these final hours of Jesus' life and shortly after. Just one after another, they're being fulfilled, being taken care of. Verse 38 through 42 is the burial of Jesus. And it says, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission to do so. So he came and took away his body. So just in that first section there, Joseph says a secret disciple of Jesus because he was afraid of the Jews. He went to Pilate and asked permission for Jesus's body. Because when you were crucified on a cross, you didn't get a proper burial. You got just a common grave with the people you were crucified with. You didn't get all the respect that you would get for dying and being buried the way you should. So Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus, bound it in linen cloth with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. So the part here is fulfilling Isaiah 53, verse 9, that says, they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death. So these men took a great risk. Going to Pilate, asking for the body, Nicodemus bringing the spices and preparing his body and burying it, because they were part of the same group that sought to have Jesus crucified. Around this time, people were scared of what would happen to them with being associated with Jesus. They didn't know if they would be hurt as well. So these guys took a big risk when they went to go get his body and prepare it, but it fulfilled scripture. So They prepared Jesus' body with 75 pounds of spices and placed him in the tomb that was there. So a lot was happening on this day. In the morning, Jesus was taken to Pilate, questioned, then handed over to be crucified, then taken down, prepared, and laid in the tomb and buried, all in one day on Friday. God wrote his story down in history. He told his prophets what would be coming to free them and to save them. Those prophets foretold the story of what would become of the Lamb of God. Jesus, then being fully obedient to the Father, fulfilled all of the prophecies. If you look through the four Gospels, you will see 16 prophecies that were fulfilled on those final hours. It's really impressive to see one or two prophecy come through as true. But in a matter of hours, Jesus' work fulfilled 16 prophecies. Jesus came to this world to save us. He came down laying aside his divine attributes. He lived a perfect life, and then he died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried. There's more to this story that Jeremy is going to talk on later on. And if you gain nothing else from this message, I want you to understand and remember that Jesus died on the cross to forgive the sins of the world, for my sins and your sins, past, present, future. They were all laid on him at the cross, and he said, "It is finished, paid in full." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you gave us the ability to know you, Lord, to be forgiven, to have a relationship with you, Lord, that when Jesus died, he tore the veil so that we didn't have to have somebody go to you on our behalf except for Jesus, that we have an open line of communication, and that you forgave us of all of our sins, whether they were the ones we did forever ago, today, or years from now. You've covered the cost. You've paid it. I thank you so much for that gift that you've given us. And I pray that we just take that with us from here. And we just always remember the gospel, that it's enough to justify us, sanctify us, and eventually glorify us, Lord. I thank you. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.